not usually my practice to do theme sermons, but I felt a need, God-given need, to preach on Thanksgiving. Let me read to you Psalm 50 and verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thou thy vows unto the Most High. Several questions I want to ask before we get into the message, and I would like you to think of this carefully before you answer. How many of you give thanksgiving unto God? I'd like to see some hands. Okay. How many of you never give thanksgiving unto God? Wait a minute, you can't have it both ways. See, what you're doing is you're not being honest. What you really don't want to admit is you don't have a clue what thanksgiving means. See, normally every hand in the place would have gone up and said, oh yes, I give thanksgiving unto God. Then my next question would have been, what does thanksgiving mean? And everybody had said, Well then how do you know you're giving it? Let me share with you what it is that God wants from you, which is thanksgiving. But to give you an idea, let's talk about what he doesn't want. We'll start with verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. Here in verse 7, it is abundantly clear that when you hear a message, and it's from God, and he's speaking to his people, he testifies against you. If you're coming to hear something that'll make you feel good, if you're coming to hear something that'll leave you thinking that you're all right, then you didn't hear from God, or you're not a member of the nation of Israel, one of the two. Because he said, if you hear my people and you hear me speak, I'll testify against thee. In other words, God says, I'm here to be a witness against you. Now, whenever anyone's looking for a witness against you, that means you're guilty of a crime. We don't need no witnesses against law-abiding people. So understand that the reason that you're here is that so the Lord can tell you what you've done wrong, not what you've done right. That wouldn't take very long. We could be out of here real quick if I was going to preach on what you did right. You opened your eyes this morning, and then from there on, it was all downhill. Verse 8, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. What God is saying, you already own everything. Don't give me back what I already own, and you think you've given me what I want from you. I don't care how much you tithe. I don't care how faithful you are to services. You're only giving God back what he gave you. It's already his. He says in verse 11, I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Besides that, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. See, we have a mistaken notion that we're here to give God something he needs. Well, what would he need from us? He already owns everything. Here's what he wants from you. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Now, once you offer God thanksgiving, he says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. In other words, if you learn what thanksgiving is and offer it to God, you immediately will call upon God in the day of trouble, and he'll take care of the problem. Now, those people that don't want to give thanksgiving, he calls them wicked in the next verse. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? In other words, why are you quoting scriptures? Why are you spouting all these spiritual sounding phrases? Seeing, verse 17, seest thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. In other words, what in the world do you think you're doing? Quoting scripture, reading your Bible, doing all that. Then you come to church, listen to a sermon, and you hate what you hear. You hate the instruction. You don't want to be told what's wrong with you. Well, what's the problem? God wants thanksgiving. Now, the word thanksgiving comes from a Hebrew word that's going to knock your socks off, so to speak. Has several definitions, and this is what God wants from you. The first definition of thanksgiving means an extension of the hand. In other words, God says, we need reconciliation. We're not friendly. You believe and do things this way, and I believe and do things this way, and there's not a friendship. There's a gulf between us. We need to make up. So the first sign of thanksgiving is an extension of the hand. That's an omission or an admission, rather. I want to be your friend. I want to be on the same side of the struggle with you, God. So it's an extension of the hand. Definition number two of thanksgiving, once we extend the hand, is to revere or worship with extended hands, plural. First is extension of the hand, singular, and then it's worship or revere with extended hands. Now, I know there's some churches where they do it this way. Oh, Lordy, Lord. No, that's not what it is. To revere or worship with extended hands follows an extension of the hand. So first it's, Lord, I'd like to make up with you, and I surrender. This is what the extent, I give up. You're right, and I'm wrong. I have no excuses, no justification, nothing. But you see, you don't do that to God because every time we talk, you don't surrender. You come ready to fight. You come ready to justify. You come ready to find fault with me to justify your own fault. And God knows I have my fault, but how's that going to justify yours? If my sin was enough to justify everybody else's sin, Jesus could have saved his trouble and not come to Calvary, because I have enough sin and enough fault that would make me worse than anybody else. You wouldn't have to worry. But that's not the way it works. So you're not giving God thanksgiving if you don't make an attempt and recognize you want to make up, and I surrender, I'm wrong. But you come loaded for bear, wanting to fight and argue and find fault with me just because it's there. Well, how in the world is that going to help you? And here comes the last part. First, an extension of the hands, and then worship with extended hands. I surrender. And the last part of the definition of the word thanksgiving is to make confession. In other words, I want to be friends. I have no excuses. I give up. And here's what I've done. Not here's what Reuben's done, or her, or him, or them, or they. Lord, I want to be friends. I give up. I can't handle this by myself. I'm hopeless by myself. And this is what I've done. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. Turkeys do have a place in it, but that place is yours. And yes, I have to carve the turkey, and we do it very often here. You have to be cut up. So you can't get to the point of making confession until you understand you're estranged from God. And you haven't given up, because if you haven't given up, what are you going to confess? You're going to come with excuses like your children do. It's a big difference between confessing and making excuses. Now understand this. If you're not willing to confess, then God says, don't even put my word in your mouth. What are you doing talking my word? He says, before you can talk my word, in essence, he says, why don't you spit out that garbage you got in there? Clean out the vessel and then put the truth in there. So we have to extend the hand, raise the extended hands, and then let's start confessing. Now the word confess is an important word, because remember, we're talking thanksgiving. In other words, God says you ought to be thankful that you have someone who's willing to tell you what's wrong with you so that you can confess it to somebody who's willing to listen to you, to tell somebody who already died for you to say, I paid that penalty. If that isn't Thanksgiving, I don't know what is. You've been thankful for money and jobs and turkeys and wives and husbands and all those things. And sometimes I even wonder why you're thankful about that, the way you treat one another, but that's another message. You need to confess. Offer unto God confession. But it doesn't come before you extend a hand. You want to make friends. Don't come to fight with me, all right? And don't come to me until you're ready to surrender. I'm not going to fight with anybody in this church anymore. I learned this week, and I'm not fighting with you folks anymore. If you want to do what you're doing and you think you're right, go ahead until you realize you're not. Then come and talk to me. I'm not fighting with you anymore. I'm not arguing anymore. I'm looking for three things. An extended hand, raised hands, and confession. Well, you're talking the wrong person. You need to fight. Go fight with someone else. And then after you get the living daylights beat out of you, then come and talk to me. Now I'm going to teach you now how to confess. What all this Thanksgiving business is all about. Confess comes from the word, obviously, confession. And it means two things. It means to admit a fault and a crime. Now understand what confession has two parts, the crime and the fault. The fault is the cause of the crime, and the crime is the action of the fault. Now, how many times have you heard in this church, the wages of sin is death? Sin is what you do. No, what you do is the wages of the sin. The sin is what's wrong in your mind. You won't confess. You won't surrender. You won't give up. You think you're right. So as a result, you confess the wages of sin and not the sin. Well, now you're going to learn that confession or thanksgiving means you have to admit two things, the crime and the fault. Now, there's people sitting in this room won't admit the crime or the fault. There's people sitting in this room that will admit the crime but not the fault. And I'll be very honest with you as I look around. I don't really know of any, if there is anybody, I don't know of anybody that will admit the fault and the crime. Unless I pin them 2 out of 3 falls. Once they're cornered in the corner and they have no choice anymore and the referee is going like this on the mat, you're firmly pinned down, you say, then I surrender. You don't surrender, you've been beaten. You think it's something that God likes when he has to take his servant and beat you down before you'll admit anything? Well, that's not confession. And that certainly isn't surrender. And that certainly is not a desire to be friends. It says, first you have to admit the fault and the crime. Then you have to acknowledge the fault and the crime. Now here comes a part. It's going to shake you up. It did me. Confess means to declare one's faith in the fault and the crime. Because that's the only reason you're doing it. He said, if you would give as much faith to me as you do to your fault and your crime, your life would turn. He says, I want you to admit that you have faith in your fault and your crime. That's why you defend it. Now he says, let me tell you what else confession means. To be evidence of your fault and your crime. It means to reveal your fault and your crime and to manifest your fault and your crime. I told you so many times, you don't talk it out, you're going to act it out. First, he says you have to admit the fault and the crime. Admit means to permit to enter. You let it in. Yes, your husband brought it. Yes, your mother and your dad gave it to you a long time, or they offered it to you, but you let it in. Ladies, I'm getting a little tired of hearing, I'm just a reflection. Yes, you are. And yes, he did bring it in, but you let it in. He brought it to your door, but you let it in. Same thing with you, man. It was brought to you, but you had to let it in. Quit blaming other people for anything other than the fact that they presented it to you. They showed you how it worked, but you had to let it in. You had to make a decision to let it in. So the first thing is to make that declaration. Admit that you let it in. You permitted it to enter. Admit also used to use a fault or a crime. Not only did you let it in, but you use it. Every time you light up or do whatever your sin is, it's not me doing it. I do my own, but I don't do yours. So you're the one that's using your fault and your crime. In other words, God says if you're going to confess, you're going to have to confess more than just the end result. You're going to have to confess that you permitted it to enter, and then you decided to use it. Admit also means to leave room for or to make room for. In other words, he says, you make room, you make provision for your sin. You make allowances, you prepare things for it. Oh, Brother Reuben, what do you mean? Well, when you carry this little pack around in your pocket, just in case the urge hits you, you've made room for it, haven't you? When you have installed in your automobile a cruise control that automatically turns your car into McDonald's, then you've made provision for it. You just don't find yourself there. You've made room for it. Admit also means to concede to a fault or a crime. He says you gave in to it. Not at the time that it was happening. You made a concession before it even got there. You already conceded. You already decided. You were right and I was wrong. You just wanted somebody to fight with it. You wanted someone to give you an excuse to let your anger and your emotion out so we could veil the real issue, which was your fault. Admit also means to practice certain functions. He says, first of all, you need to confess you permitted it to enter. You use it, you make room for it, and then you practice it. It becomes habitual. It's no accident. Habits come by habitual use. Now, an accident, how could you say if you went out every morning on your way to work, you ran into a truck every morning? Every single morning for 20 years now, you've been running into a truck every morning and banging up your car. Could you say that was an accident? Oh, well, that means everything you do every day is no accident, is it? Could it be that you learn how to practice this and it's become a habit? That's what admit means. And he says, now that you admit that you've admitted it, that you put it, let it in, he says, now it's time to acknowledge your fault and your crime. Now, God didn't say, I don't want your tithes. I don't want your prayers. I don't want you spouting and witnessing all over if you don't give me thanksgiving first. He says, now I want you to acknowledge that you acknowledge the fault or the crime. Acknowledge means to recognize the authority or the claims of. You recognize the authority of your fault and your crime. I can't help it. I don't know how. I'm trying. You are recognizing that it has authority, and you recognize it claims on you. You must do what I tell you to do. The shed blood of Jesus is nothing. The power that God gave you, that's diddly. You recognize my authority over you. So see, when you acknowledge the authority and the claims of your fault and your crime, you are not giving thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus Christ. However, when you acknowledge to God that you have acknowledged the authority of your fault and your crime, then that's confession. See, so all he's asking you to do, to admit what you know is true, I know is true, God knows is true, we all know it's true. Why don't you just say it? It's true anyway. And then here's one that was really tough. confess means to declare one's faith in the fault and the crime. Faith means unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. How much proof, how much evidence, how much talking, how much preaching did it take, how much counseling did it take before you decided to start smoking cigarettes, marijuana, or whatever you do? Almost none. Did you go to a class? Do they have a school for smoking? And did you fight tooth and nail and say, I don't understand how to do this, Brother Reuben, I don't know how to do this. You just picked it up and you start puffing like a cheap steam engine, didn't you? I mean, it didn't take anything at all. You didn't come up with all of these technical questions. You didn't play innocent and dumb then. Man, you just went right into it without proof or evidence. The same is true of alcohol and all the other habits that we pick up. And yet, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes along and says, you can have victory over that, you say, give me proof. Give me evidence. I don't understand how that works. It doesn't work. You didn't say that to the devil when he offered you his garbage. You did it with unquestioning belief. And you did not require proof or evidence. Somebody told you it was going to feel good, and you did it. You didn't go asking for technical questions. You didn't go seeking information. You just picked it right up and went right at it. Whatever your sin is, or I should say sins. Faith means also to have complete trust in something, to give it your complete allegiance or loyalty. Now, when you've been doing what you've been doing for 20 or 30 years, claiming that you want to quit, why don't you admit you've given your allegiance and your loyalty to it? It's true anyway. That's what I have to do. That's the only thing that ever released me. The fact that I finally said, I surrender. Let's be friends. You're God and I'm not. You own the whole heaven and earth. Where am I going to go if I'm not going to live on his earth? He says, you have, and why does God want you to do that? To put you down and make you feel like a slob? No, so that you can declare the truth. It's already true anyway. Your fault and your crime has your allegiance and your loyalty. You're totally loyal to it. You will protect it. You protect it from the truth. You protect it from the Lord. You protect it from the counselor. You protect it from the preacher. You protect it. You're loyal to it. It has your allegiance. You'll do anything to protect it. Your faith is in your fault and your crime. Now it starts getting heavy. He says, now you don't want to declare your faith. You don't want to recognize that. The next definition means to be evidence of your fault and your crime. Understand now, first we get a chance to talk it out. Now it starts coming out. To be evidence of a fault or crime. Evidence means something that's easy to see, very clear, very obvious, very plain, and extremely apparent. We could have talked it out. Nobody would have ever known. But you're going to wait until it becomes apparent. And when it does, by the way, that's when I get the calls where they want to argue. Because by that time, you don't even believe your lies. And you know what amazes me? Knowing how you think and at what grade level your intelligence is in relation to this, you get to the point where you don't even believe and you call me to try to convince me. Now, either you think I'm awful stupid or you don't realize how self-deluded you are. It's now easy to see. It's very clear. It's obvious. It's plain. And it's apparent. Now it's time to reveal a fault or a crime. See, this confession business is going to happen one way or the other. People say, well, I'm not going to confess. What do you think this is, a Catholic church? No, you're going to confess. You're either going to talk it out or you're going to act it out. Now it's become your evidence of your fault and your crime It's easy to see, it's clear, it's obvious, it's plain, and it's apparent. There's something wrong there. We don't know what it is yet, but it's very obvious. Those of you that go to the Easter parade every day and your bonnet is always a black cloud, and your chief rain in the face, it's always raining in your face, because there's always a cloud in front of you. And yes, the rain comes out of your nostrils and out of your eyes, and always you got rain in the face. Now the next part of the definition, if you won't want to be, now your evidence, now it's time to reveal a fault or a crime. Reveal means to draw back the veil. It's hidden veil person time, isn't it? You know, that's when people get so upset. They think they're upset at me, but they're really upset because their lace curtains have been drawn back. And that hidden veil person is right there, and I can see its ugly face, and so can you. We've drawn back the veil. Reveal means also not only to draw back the veil, it means to make something known that's previously been hidden and kept secret. My friend, I'm going to warn you again. You better talk it out, or you're going to act it out. Reveal means now something is made known that previously has been kept hidden and secret. Why do you think a person will murder someone, get away with it, they think, and then go do it again? You would think once they did it once and said, oh, nobody knows. They don't have me as a... You would think from then on they would walk around like this, but they don't. They do it again, don't they? Whatever that sin is, whatever that thing you're keeping hidden and secret, you're going to do it again and again and again. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Reveal or confess, that part of confession means to make that thing known that's hidden or kept secret. Now, at this point, God is saying, I'm making it known to you. See, this isn't known to the general population. At the end of the definition, we'll come up with the word manifest. And then everybody's going to know. But right now, God is saying, look, I don't want to do that to you. I want to reveal to you, to make known to you, there's something hidden and secret. There's a hidden veil person back there. We got to draw back the veil. He'll make you aware of it first, and you've known it all along. You just didn't know that somebody else did. He says, now I'll make known something that's hidden and secret. Reveal means to disclose, to expose to view. In other words, God says, I want to show you again. And I want to show you through a witness. See, before, just you knew. Nobody but you knew. Long time ago and far, far away in a galaxy far, far away and a long time ago. So we only have one witness. And Jesus says everything's established in the mouth of two witnesses. Well, here comes witness number two. Stay away from me if you don't want to confess. Take my phone number and burn it. Don't call me anymore. I'm the second witness, my friend. You give me 10 minutes with you and I'll know exactly what it is. I may not know the dates and the times and the who's and the what, and the who's, but I'll know the what's. And now you can't say, because I will tell you specifically as I have. And everything is established in the mouth of two witnesses. And I be the second witness. Stay away from me if you don't want to know. Stay away if you don't want to confess. In fact, if you're afraid of this, I suggest you don't come back to this church. Because if you don't confess, I'll testify against you. I'll be the second witness. You think we're going to stand before the Lord and you say, well, I didn't know. And he's going to say, Reuben, did you tell her? And I'll say, oh, no, Lord, because I'm afraid of you. I'm not even afraid of you here. Do you think I'm going to admit over there to try to cover for you and say, no, I didn't tell her, Lord, I didn't know. I'll say, I told her 7,000 times a week. I begged her, I begged him. I did everything I could. Every power, every word that you gave me, I gave it to them. You're not going to use me as a scapegoat. You better understand, we don't play church here. If you want some sing-song thing that's going to make you feel better, you are in the wrong place. And understand this, if you can't confess what's wrong with you to God and be friends with God, if you can't be friends with God, how in the world are you ever going to stay married with some imperfect dude that half the time doesn't know enough to pick his nose in private? How are you going to be friends with an imperfection like that if you can't even be friends with God? Who can you be friends? My God in heaven, don't you see what I'm trying to tell you? Man, if you can't be honest with God, who in the world can you be honest with? If you can't be friends with God, if you can't make up with God, if you can't confess to God who's perfect, you ain't never going to confess to nothing, to nobody. And you'll never have a friend on the face of this earth. Never. You have a lot of acquaintances, but you're never going to have a friend. Because you don't know how to be friends with God. Because you see, why would God require something more for his friendship than is required of one another? See, God says, I want to reveal to you. See, God is telling you first, I want you to know the necessity of confession, but I'm also going to show you what needs to be confessed in the mouth of another witness. Not that you don't know. You just need to be told by another person because you thought it's been forgotten. Well, it hasn't been. And the reason is not that it isn't forgiven now, but you're still acting it out. You still have all the wrong habits. So obviously you have not confessed it. Because he said, if you offer thanksgiving, he says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee. That means I'll remove the difficulty. Now if you still have the difficulties because you haven't given thanksgiving, be careful you don't choke on the turkey tomorrow. Get this thing straight. Don't be like the commercial and say, well, I'm not going here. They don't have no diamond walnuts and take your turkey and go home. Have you seen that commercial? Indians got mad because they didn't have diamond walnuts. I don't know. Now, if you don't want to reveal it, there's another choice. The last one. Confess means to manifest a fault or a crime. And manifest means to show itself. The murderer will murder. The adulterer will adulterate. The molester will molest. The addict will be addictive. The overeating will, it'll show itself. You can see your spirit. Just look behind you. It's right there behind you. Look under your arm. It's there, hanging there. It's there. Believe me, it's there. Manifest means to show itself. At that point, it becomes abundantly clear. And you know what always happens when they manifest? The person that gets that far, you will leave. I know what I'm telling you. I've said this to people before. If you wait until it shows up and you can't hide it anymore, you're history. You won't be able to stand around here. You'll have to go somewhere where there's no confession going on. You'll have to go someplace where everybody's in bondage to their past. Because see, at the last point, when it starts manifesting, you can't fake it anymore. It shows itself. You know what else manifest means? So that you get the full import of what I'm trying to tell you here. If you wait till it manifests, manifest, if you look it up just in any dictionary, it means a list of the passengers, the cargo, and the destination. So manifest will tell you who's going. You and greed, you and fat, you and lard, you and drugs, you and criticism. You're all the passengers. The cargo is unhappiness, sickness, poverty, and the destination is depression, hell on earth. That's what a manifest is. All ships, all planes, anything that carries a cargo, any airliner has a, what they call a ship's manifest. And the ship's manifest will tell you who's on there, what's on there and where it's going. Now, I'm telling you, if you wait until that happens, I'll be able to tell you who's on there, what's on there, and where it's going. And at that point, people say, I don't want to hear this. Well, don't. I don't care. I still got to tell you. Now, to go back to the beginning, say, well, what's the answer, Brother Reuben? How can we deal with this? He says, confess the fault and the crime. Let's deal with the crime first. Crime means an act committed in violation of a law prohibiting it. In other words, that's the actual thing that you did. That's the crime. Crime means an offense against morality. That's the crime. Yes, you should confess the crime. But if you only confess the crime, you have forgiveness, but you still have the fault. And if you still have the fault, you still keep doing it. And what does that mean? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm very sorry. I'm extremely sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about being sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, man, am I sorry. That's all right, brother. You are confessing the crime up one side and up the other. Well, when are we ever going to do anything about the fault? Because the fault is what's causing the crime. Now, most people don't even want to confess the crime. In this church, you can't get away with that. You know what the problem we have? You don't want to admit you have any fault. Oh, yes, there was a crime, but this total came in and did it. The straw man, somebody else. See, you can't hide the crime. It becomes obvious. So then we look for someone to frame. We need someone to frame for this crime. So you see, at that point, people are not so stupid to try to say, no, I had a divorce in my family. Oh, yes, there's a crime. Something went, but it was his fault. It was her fault. They don't want to deal with the fault. So what do? Like I did, you go do it again. Because you took the fault to the next relationship and committed the same crime. Then you took that fault to the next relationship, commit the same crime. So the end result is always the same. And you're always confessing crime, never, never, never dealing with the fault. Because if you only confess the crime, you have forgiveness for the crime, but you have not removed the cause. The fault is still there. Now he says, here's the fault. Here's the reason. Get this. If you don't get this, you've lost the whole message. You must confess the fault. And fault means a failure to have what is required. You're missing something. Fault means a lack or a flaw or an imperfection, a defect. There's something you need that you don't have. That's the fault. See, that's what's causing you to do the wrong. The fault is you don't have what you need. Well, what is it that you need? The last part of the definition of the word fault is not knowing what to do. Here's the fault. You don't know what to do. So what do? You do wrong. So what is the whole ignorance? Fault basically boiled down means not knowing what to do. How many people are willing to confess that? I don't know what to do. No, you call me and you tell me how wrong I am. Or how wrong somebody else is. Instead of admitting the reason you have the crime is you don't know what to do. That's the only reason. And see, that's God says, give me some thanksgiving. Admit you don't know what to do, because the minute you don't know what to do, I'm going to send you, someone's going to show you what to do. So simple. Not knowing what to do is the fault, which causes the crime, which is a violation and the offense. Well, what is this business about not knowing? Not knowing means not to have a clear perception or understanding of something. Isn't it pathetic? You've lived with you all your life and you don't understand you. You don't have a clear perception of you. Your perception of you is so clouded, it's almost like you're thinking of another person. But you don't know that. You really believe that you know you. And if you know you, man, I tell you, I wouldn't live with you. And if you know you as well as I know you, why do you put up with you? Why would you even protect yourself? Man, isn't it time to stick out the hand and say, look, Rube, it's time to be friends. I want the Lord's help, and I surrender. I don't know what I'm doing. The problem is you have no clear perception or understanding. Not knowing what to do also means not being well informed about something. It means not having learned and not being aware of what to do. You don't know. You haven't learned, and you're not aware of what to do. You're not well informed about what to do. You have no perception, no clear perception or understanding about what to do. Not knowing means not having a firm mental grasp of. You just don't know. And here's the last part, and here's the part that defines why you don't have it. And incidentally, it'll tell you why you're never going to get it your way. Not knowing from the dictionary means not to have an understanding or skill as a result of study. Now understand what I've just said here. From the dictionary, not knowing means not to have an understanding or a skill of something as a result of study. In other words, God says, I'm going to take this man out of his life, and I'm going to make provision that he lives of the gospel so that he can spend all his time studying so that he will know. And then once he knows, he can tell you. But no, you call me to tell me. Well, I say, well, have you been studying? Well, why did God call two of us in this church? Doesn't he have, maybe his secretary is out to lunch. Maybe we got mixed appointments here, huh? Oh, I know. The computer made an error, right? Your check's in the mail, one of those things. Why would God put two of us in here to confuse us? He says, look, the only way you can know and have an understanding and a skill about what to do, it must be a result of study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, you know what workman means? Workman means a someone that does something and makes a living at it. Now, how many people in this room study this Bible and make a living at it? One, me. Then why are you trying to do my job? How could you possibly know more than I, and God be paying me to do the work, called me out of my life, made me the workman who's to study to show himself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, giving me understanding or skill as the result of study, and then he sends you in, and all you have to do is get up in the wrong side of the bed one morning with a black cloud over your head, and you know more than I do. Somebody doesn't have this thing right. So to boil this thing down, the Lord says, you just don't know what to do. Now you know something? If you can see the love of God in here, he says, first of all, you don't want to be my friend. Secondly, you're not willing to surrender. Thirdly, you don't want to admit your fault and your crime. And after all that's said and done, and you're even manifesting, I'm still telling you, you know what the problem is? You know why you're doing this to me? You know why you don't want to be my friend? You know, you want to know why you don't surrender? You know why you're the jerk that you are? You know why you have the difficulties? You just don't know any better. Now, how much more love can the man show you? And he says, I understand that. So what I've done is I've selected one of your number, the worst one of the bunch, molded his life and made it completely different, taken him out of the normal routine that the rest of you enjoy, and him I've given the duty, the responsibility, and the desire, by the way. I love to do this. But it isn't my love to do this, it's God-given love. I'll give him the desire and the time to study on your behalf day after day after day, week in, week out, every single day. Not a day passes by that I don't spend hours in this book. Hours in this book. I'm not saying this to say I'm better. I'm just different. My job is different. There's people in this room that spend much more hours than I do painting or whatever, typing, whatever. What am I going to say? Oh, that makes you better than me? No, that just makes you different. Now see what the Lord is saying here. You don't have a firm mental grasp. You don't know. And I understand what it takes. It takes study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says, I got to hire somebody. This is a full-time job. This takes every waking moment. This takes a commitment and a dedication. And this takes a commitment and dedication that no man can take this honor for himself. He says, I choose who I want, and I give it to whoever I want to. They don't deserve it. I don't know, maybe he uses darts. I don't know how he does it. I don't care how he does it. Because you see, if he chose me, it's no different than I'm sitting over there. I still get it. Now, what difference does it make if I get it Reader Digest style like you do, or go longhand like I do? We end up getting the same thing. And why? Because you didn't want to be friends, and you refused to surrender, because you knew that once surrender, we got to confess. We got to get after that hidden, deep, dark secret. We got to part some curtains. It's showtime. Open the curtains. We got to start the movie here. No. You think you're going to do it another way. Well, I'll leave you with this thought, and you can do what you want with it. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do with to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest takest my covenant in thy mouth? People say, how come my prayers don't work? How come I can't say what you do, Brother Reuben, and I don't get the same results? Here it is. What are you doing taking my covenant in your mouth when you're unwilling to confess? You're unwilling to become friends. You're unwilling to be thankful. You don't want to give me thanksgiving. You don't want to take my covenant in thy mouth. And then he tells you why you don't. Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. Oh, well, I'd never cast the Lord's words behind me. You know what that basically means? You hear it and forget it. I'll bet you a dollar to a donut, maybe not now that I've warned you, but I could call most of you. Even after I finish the message, maybe one of these days I will. I'm going to stop and I say, okay, brother, who can tell me what I just preached on? You know what you did? You cast my words behind you. You listen and right through. Doesn't he realize what time it is? Do you realize what time it is? Are you almost ready to manifest? Do you know how late it is? Do you have any idea in this spectrum, in this analogy that was drawn, in this graph, do you have any idea where you are? That's what time it is. You can forget that it's 8:05. It might be a whole lot later than that for you. But I'll tell you again, I am through fighting and arguing. If I don't see an extension of the hand and surrender and some desire to confess, I can't help you. I can't do it. And this is an admonition that God gave me. He said, Reuben, I don't want you fighting anymore. You're doing it wrong. How dare you think that you, by personality, through your own personality, through your own friendship, through your own effort, you can make people do something they don't want to do? Why are you arguing with them? Why do you fight with them? Who do you think you are? Listen, the Lord slapped me every way but loose over this message. I'm not going to do it anymore. If the Lord Jesus Christ isn't enough to make you understand what you need to do, I'm not going to fight with you and I'm not going to argue with you. And that isn't a statement of indignation or that I'm upset. I just realize God put me in my place this last couple days. I'm through worrying what you think about me. I'm through worrying whether I'm pleasing to you, where I'm at and when I'm at and how I do things. I'm through worrying about that. I don't care. Because I know one thing, my Lord, my God, the day you extend your hand and then raise your hands and say it's time, he'll provide me. I'll be there. You can't find me because that's what you want, not to find me. So I'm through worrying about it. And not because I'm upset. God just put me in my place and said, quit trying to be God. You can't be me. I'm just his witness.
I'm just a vessel. That's all I am. I'm not going to worry about you folks anymore. And I ask you also to forgive me for being in God's way. Forgive me for loving you the wrong way. Being concerned and wondering what they're going to do. I don't care anymore. Because if you can't be friends with God, what chance do I have? Doesn't matter how much I shake your hand. Doesn't matter how much I do. If you can't be friends with God, you'll never be friends with me. You'll never be friends with anybody. You can't even be friends with yourself. I'm just through worrying about it. Such as it is, I like my head just, I don't want any more bumps. I'm not going to bat my head up against the brick wall. And not because I'm upset. I come to realize I've been in your way. I got too close. I got to the point where I start judging my success and whether God was pleased with me as to how good you got, how much you got blessed. I start grading myself depending on how well you were doing. Not anymore. I finally realized what I was doing wrong. Once I've told the truth, my job is over. You do with it what you want. But if I don't see this and this, I'll give you the news and the weather report. Partly cloudy. Increased humidity, clearing in the afternoon. That's all you're getting out of me. You want to talk business, let's talk business. But I'm not going to sit with you and plead with you anymore. I'm not going to sit around and worry about you anymore. You need to be friends with God. You need to understand that without extending your hand to God, you're dead. And once you do this, then the next thing has got to be surrender. You've got to raise your hands. And it has to be unconditional surrender. And then on the heels of that will come confession. And then call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. That's as serious as this promise gets. So when you start eating your turkey tomorrow, think about what you've done. Think about how we treat God. And do we really give him thanksgiving? I didn't. Because I have to admit, up until this message, I didn't know what it was. I thought he was pleased with me because I was so worried about all of you. Oh, there's another one that's been blessed. Here's another promotion. Here's another raise. I don't care if you all get fired, as long as I'm telling you the truth. Because you see, if I'm telling you the truth and you all get fired, it's because you all have rejected the truth. Has nothing to do with me. I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me. I apologize for getting in the way here. From here on in, I don't care. Because if you don't care, then what difference would it make if I did? If you can't see your need for God, you don't need me. Losing a friendship or communication with me is the least of your problems. Understand what this represents. You've given up your right, your ability to be friends with God, to surrender to the King of the universe, to be able to sit down with God himself and say, I agree with you. This and this is what I've done. I've confessed, but I also agree with the next verse. You said when I do that, I can call on you in the day of trouble, and you said you would deliver me. And you said it, and I believe it. And all I had to do was confess, and you said you would deliver. So God, get to delivering. Because I'm here to confess. Now that kind of thing I can deal with. But the Lord took my ego the last 2 days, and he wrung it out, and he says, we don't need this anymore. I don't care if there's 10 people, 12 people, or it's just you and your family. Tell the truth. Or get out of the way, and I'll get someone that will. And I'm not leaving here. So don't think I'm indifferent toward you anymore. Just understand, God said, if they don't want to shake and make up and surrender and confess, then we're going to have to wait until they do. Let's wait until they manifest. And then after it's all over and your life is in the tubes, in the tank, when your only companion is a bowl of Santa flesh, God's not going to say, I told you so. He's going to say, you just didn't know what to do, son. Now, would you like for me to tell you what to do? Oh, yes, Lord.
Does it have to come through that guy, though?
Here we go again. Unconditional surrender. See, when they dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, they didn't say, well, on this condition or that. He said, look, you surrender or we fry your buns. Just that simple. There was no conditions. Why? Because they held the power. You're not going to make a conditional surrender to God. It's unconditional. And part of that condition, whether you like it or not, it's a package deal. He chose me. I don't know why. But if you all get together and pray long enough, I suspect God would put me somewhere else. And maybe we'd both be better off. I suspect I would just have a bigger bunch to deal with. And we'd have to start at square one with all of them again. But I'm experienced now. I know how now. And if God does send you someone else, and he is from God, you're going to hear the same thing all over again. And you're going to say, might as well, we should have just kept dumb and we had him broken in already. Now, you're getting it God's way or you're not going to get it. Brother Rick, would you close the services in prayer?